the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Well, from water as a critical battleground to the battleground of US politics and the trenches of social media. Elon Musk is in hot water over some of his tweets and retweets relating to Kamala Harris. Noam Cohen, journalist and author of The Know-It-Alls, The Rise of Silicon Valley as a Political Powerhouse and Social Wrecking Ball. He believes that the perception of Silicon Valley as a bastion of highly educated liberal Stanford graduates is being tested. Noam, is there a sense that there's a fundamental shift in Silicon Valley, a move from being disruptors or disruptor status to establishment status? At the start of the summer, there was a shift towards supporting Trump and J.D. Vance. We saw that. Has that changed?
Yeah, I think that's they're both aspects. That's a really good question. I mean, I think there is just the sense that they are not upstarts anymore and they aren't kind of like wanting to change the system, and they're now prepared to kind of work with whatever government they have. And I do think it was very striking that, you know, I don't know how much you're following the American election. There was this real shift, obviously, when Biden stepped down. When Biden was the candidate, there was a real perception that Donald Trump, despite all of his crimes and other things he'd done, was going to take over, you know, was going to win the election, was not going to even be close. So, you know, these are all Silicon Valley, you know, investor types, right, who are all about, you know, buying the stock when it's hot. And so I think everyone was worried that they were going to be on the wrong team, right? Which is really kind of big ramifications when you're a big company. You feel you're going to get regulated and won't get an opportunity. I thought the height of this was like Mark Zuckerberg, actually, who is purposely never, he's not endorsing anyone, but he made a point of releasing that he called Donald Trump when he, you know, survived the assassination attempt to say what a badass he thought he was, right? And he kind of was really striking that he made this call to say that. And, you know, that was kind of him, to me, I felt like putting a few chips on the Donald Trump bet. Now, what's changed, obviously, is that Kamala Harris has come in, and it's not nearly as certain that Trump is going to win. I think a lot of people are having a little buyer's regret, remorse, as they call, because I think they really have put more chips on Donald Trump than maybe is wise, because, you know, he might not win.
Well, Elon Musk has been sort of leading the charge on this, having said at one stage in relation to Twitter that for Twitter to deserve public trust, it would have to be publicly neutral. He's got very much on board behind Donald Trump. And also, he's been retweeting all kinds of posts that are very misogynistic, kind of extraordinary, really, Noam. I mean, there was one there where someone had said only high-status males should be able to participate in government because women and low-testosterone males are not capable of critical thought. There's this kind of an ultra-macho, misogynistic tone to quite a lot of it.
Yeah, that's very striking. And I do think it is something that is embedded a bit in the history of Silicon Valley. Like in my book, I talk about the history of Stanford and eugenics. It's just part of the whole kind of mythology of California and Silicon Valley, this idea that we can remake society. And if you remake society, of course, you should start with the genetics. I mean, that's the thing you can control. You don't want these low testosterone males, you know, reproducing. And so there has always been this strain in there of like kind of people who think they are remaking the world. And that's true of any utopian types. Fundamentally, Elon Musk, when he is pushed, like, why do you think this election is so important? What do you think the world will be like? Said, you know, his friends who he'll retweet will say, the guy's been right about, you know, e-vehicles. He's been right about space. Why would he be wrong about politics? You have to trust him. You know, he knows what. Why would this guy who knows everything be wrong about this?
So, which is a fairly thin reasoning at the best of times.
But again,
on this kind of macho stuff, there was this suggestion and toing and froing about a cage fight between Musk and Zuckerberg. And that's something you've taken an interest in.
Yeah, I just felt it was really amazing. I don't know really how much it filtered out. It kind of moved on from being these sort of geeks who are kind of laughed at to sort of now being, you know, pillars of society. And it is, I think there is a sense that these are sort of supermen, right? And Musk identifies with like Iron Man, and it's this super race, super people.
But is it not all just nonsense, BS, Noam, that really they never had any intention of getting into a cage fight at all? It's just words. I mean, Elon Musk, you know, when he tweeted or retweeted that post about only high-status males should be participating in government, he said an interesting observation. So it's not like this was just some kind of a mistake. It's like he's testing the water of just how far he can go in what he says.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, like I say, these are very radical people, right? I mean, if you look at his obsession with settling Mars, right? I mean, he really imagines a new colony, new laws, a new way of running things. I assume he would be king of it, but maybe he would believe it's some sort of a, you know, plebiscite democracy. Yeah, I mean, no, I think these are very scary. And when they control, when they have so much power, that is, of course, what makes it really scary. I mean, you know, Peter Thiel supported J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is now the candidate for vice president with a very old partner in Donald Trump as the president. I mean, of course, they're getting very close to power, and it is very, very scary. But when you ask for like kind of a coherent view about what, like, why the macho-ness and like, you know, why would you think these people who are sort of, you know, by nature sort of coder types are actually sort of supermen in this physical sense, that doesn't make a lot of sense. And they are definitely like kind of have this unprecedented power. And I think they are fascinated about how to use it. I think in the past, they were more kind of committed to being neutral because they didn't really have that much power. And it kind of made sense that, you know, they always say the famous expression in Silicon Valley is, you know, break the rule and ask for forgiveness later. Better to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission, right? That's their rule. So I think when they were going in, they were going to be very low key and very humble. Now they have lots of power. I think they are definitely experimenting. How can we make the world a better place in our worldview?
What about J.D. Vance? Because they seem to like him. He has backed cryptocurrency. He seems to have strong positive views about that and how it should be regulated or not regulated or semi-regulated. Mm-hmm. And how's he playing? How's he going down? Is he going down well in Silicon Valley now?
I guess what I would think is interesting about him is that he doesn't fit the sort of libertarian model of Silicon Valley. Like, again, this is why it's hard to kind of make a coherent picture. I mean, right, the one thing you would associate with Silicon Valley is this sort of this new atheism and this idea that, like, you know, only weak people believe in God and like they need a crutch. And yet J.D. Vance is incredibly religious, right? Catholic. So it doesn't all kind of add up, but he is of that world. He's sort of tied to that world. I think he fundamentally believes that, yeah, no regulation. And that is something that favors powerful people, right? It's all the piece, having low taxes, no regulation on speech, that favors people who already have lots of money and lots of power. So in that sense, he does, you know, serve that world very well.
If Kamala Harris and the Democrats win the election, there is a much stronger chance that there will be greater regulation and stronger regulation around social media. So in that sense, Elon Musk probably wants to double down on his backing of Donald Trump. That might be one of the reasons why he retweeted this AI-generated photograph of Kamala Harris in a communist uniform. And he says Kamala vows to be a communist dictator on day one. Can you believe she wears that outfit? And there are even questions about whether he's in breach of his own protocols for fact-checking and so forth.
Yeah, well, for disinformation, because that photo is not real, right? Let's be clear. That was an AI-generated photo. I mean, that is, I would say, classic Elon Musk trolling, right? Where he's sort of like, oh, you took it seriously? God, you're so silly. Of course she's not wearing a communist uniform. She just has those ideas or something. So it has that aspect that he likes of trolling, of like sort of getting people to be angry and go, oh my God, look how you overreact to me. Like, we're on Irish radio talking about this nonsense, you know? So that's part of it. Elon Musk is a big government contractor. He definitely wants to be on the right side of government. And so, I do think what you're seeing now, in my opinion, is that they're kind of, and other than Elon Musk, there is a sense that like they bet on Trump when he was way at the highest. And maybe there's a sense that other people, I think, are definitely kind of just covering their bets more. Elon Musk, as you said, is absolutely doubling down. He's agreed to like serve in the Trump administration. It's a big, he's definitely tied very tightly to them.
Noam Cohen, journalist and author of The Know-It-Alls, The Rise of Silicon Valley as a Political Powerhouse and Social Wrecking Ball. Thank you very much for joining us on the program.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Just to say, we did try to contact X, formerly Twitter, for comment, but there was no one available.